Excuse me. Good morning, everyone. If you would, stand up and grab a hymn book, and let's turn to page 55. At the cross, we're going to sing the first, second, and last verse. On the first.
Alas, and in my Savior bleed, and in my Sovereign die, would He devote that sacred head for such a worm as I? At the cross is where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. Was it for crimes that I have done? He groaned upon the tree. Amazing pity, grace unknown, and love beyond degree. At the cross, where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away, it was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day.
Sing it out on that last verse.
But drops of grief can never efface the debt of love I owe. Here, Lord, I give myself away. 'Tis all that I can do. At the cross, where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day.
Amen.
Good morning.
Good to see you. As I told somebody a while ago, it's good to be seen today. Isn't it good to be saved?
Amen.
What a wonderful Savior we have. And I'm so thankful to be able to be here to worship Him. We call this Easter Sunday or Resurrection Sunday. There's not a Lord's Day go. Hey, there's not a day go by I don't rejoice that I serve a Savior that is alive.
Amen.
My God lives. And best of all, He lives in me. Huh? Amen. Well, I see a lot of visitors here today, and we're so thankful God led you our way. It's truly, and I don't say this lightly, it's our honor to have you with us and just rejoice in your presence with us here. We want to take a couple minutes and welcome each other, so please, church, get around and welcome our visitors. Let them know you're glad they're with us today.
Thank you.
Thank you all so much for being here. You may be seated. That we serve a risen Savior.
Amen.
Let's stand once more. Let's turn to 149.
God sent His Son. They call Him Jesus. He came to I can face tomorrow.
last verse, and we'll take a little bit of time on that third verse. Sing the verse real slow, and then on the chorus, we'll speed it up, okay?
And then one day, I'll cross the river. I'll find my spider walking there. And then
rather have Jesus than heaven. anything this world affords today. I'd rather have Jesus than man's applause. I'd rather be faithful to His dear cause. I'd rather have Jesus than worldwide fame. I'd rather be true to His holy name. He's fairer than lilies of rarest bloom. He's sweeter than honey from out the comb. He's all that my hungering spirit needs. I'd rather have Jesus and let Him lead than to be the king of a vast domain, or be held in sin's dread sway. I'd rather have Jesus than anything this world affords today. I'd rather have Jesus than anything this world affords today.
Amen. I remember what it was like when sin held its dread sway. And then God was pleased to enter in and intervene in my life, be delivered from sin's power. You can be turning this morning to Isaiah 53. I've been asked several times already today. Some of you might not know that Marcia and I, my wife and I, have just returned yesterday afternoon from Western Samoa, where our missionaries, the Fawinas, are serving the Lord at Lighthouse Baptist Church, a mission of Metropolitan Baptist Church there on the island. And it's amazing that several folks asked me this morning, if, Pastor, did you wear one of them skirts while you were there? No way. I'd had to be in Samoa a whole lot longer than 2 weeks to get acclimated to that particular aspect of the culture. And we'll share more about that at another time. It's good to be back. It was a wonderful 2 weeks. Saw God do some tremendous things. 1 week ago this morning, as we preached on the blood of Jesus, God was pleased to savingly draw 5 folks to Himself that day. Teenagers, young adults, and what a privilege that was. And that Sunday night, there was another missionary was preaching Sunday night, and another young teen was saved, and a lady was restored to fellowship in the church that had been disciplined nearly 2 years ago. And God dealt with that, and that dear lady made things right with the people of God there and was restored to full fellowship in the church. It was a beautiful thing. Well, if you found your place there in Isaiah 53, stand with me if you would. And I would covet your prayers. I don't really know what time zone we're in. I'm pretty sure it's Sunday. And so wanted to be back here to be with you here on Easter Sunday, preach about this living Savior that is ours. And Brother Hudson will be preaching this evening. I plan to be here if I'm conscious, but I just need your prayers that God would arrest my attention and help me focus on what He would want us to hear today from His Word. What a tremendous chapter in the Bible, Isaiah 53. This prophecy concerning what the Lord Jesus Christ did for us on that cross of Calvary so long ago. And it says in verse 1 of Isaiah 53, "Who hath believed our report? To whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of a dry ground. He had no form nor comeliness. And when we see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes, we are healed." Father, we bow before you. Lord, we ask for your help. Lord, I'm so thankful, so grateful that we serve a living Savior, that our God doesn't lie in a tomb somewhere. He's not a God that we fashioned or formed with our own hands, but indeed Thou art the living God. Thou art the Creator God. Thou art the holy, thrice holy God. Thou art the God who was willing to give your only begotten Son for our sin. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for your mercy to us. And Father, I'm praying that you might give clarity of mind to the preacher. Help him, Father, to have that liberty of lip to preach what you want preached today. Please give us a word from yourself. And might we hear from you today. I'd ask you in Jesus' name that you'd exalt your Son, that he might be lifted up and magnified in our midst. And Lord, I pray that there be even one here today that is without Christ, that you might be pleased to graciously, savingly, effectually draw them to yourself, Lord, that today, this day, might be the day of salvation for some here. We love you, Lord. Thank you for your gracious, merciful, amazing love for us. In Jesus' name, and for Jesus' glory, we pray. Amen and amen. Of course, you may be seated. We celebrate and remember on this day the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a day that we commemorate, in a sense, our Savior's victory over death and the grave. Personally, I can't imagine any day. I can't imagine beginning any day without being able to give Him thanks for showing my appreciation, expressing as best these frail human lips can my gratitude that He's pleased to one day save me. That He one day came and breathed life into this dead soul. And indeed, the resurrected Savior lives in me and in you if you know Him. You know, all the world, Christian and non-Christian, must acknowledge that Jesus Christ lived. That He indeed was born, and that He lived on this earth planet, and that He was indeed cruelly and unjustly put to death and sealed into a tomb that didn't even belong to Him. Beloved, not just the Bible record, but even secular history testifies to those things. They'll hear that He rose from the dead. They'll hear that He is alive. And many meet in honor of Him today. But the Lord Jesus Christ, the message of the gospel, the fact that He is a living God, means a different thing to you if you're saved. If you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you can sing that song that you give Him glory, you give Him praise, because Christ liveth in you. The hope of His resurrection and life is real to you today, because He is that living God. And this morning, I'd like to see what the Lord Jesus Christ did for us concerning His death, His sacrificial death, through the eyes of the prophet Isaiah, as God was pleased to give him this amazing, I use the word vision, into what God was going to do through His Son. Hopefully, we can join in with this word. It says, "Who hath believed our report?" I pray that when the morning's done, we might say, "We believe that report. We believe what God has done through His Son, the suffering Savior on our behalf." And we see here in these first few verses our Savior's submission. What a submissive spirit He expressed. The Bible says that He always did the will of His Father. Hallelujah. We read here again, "Who hath believed our report? To whom is the arm of the Lord revealed?" When I read those words, I can't help but think about the contrast, the comparison of what it took for our salvation. When God created this universe, when He spoke this world into existence, it's described in the Word of God as the work of His hand, His handiwork. But when it speaks of the work of our salvation, it speaks of the arm of the Lord being revealed. That great strength that was expressed and manifested to provide our salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ. We see His submissive spirit described here, where it says, "For He, Jesus, shall grow up before Him as a tender plant and as a root out of a dry ground. He had no form nor comeliness. And when we shall see Him, there's no beauty that we should desire Him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from Him. He was despised, and we esteemed Him not." Oh my! The prophet's question, the prophet Isaiah's question to every one of us this morning, to all: who will believe this report? Who will believe what God says here? The difference between life and death rests behind that very question. Do we believe the Word of God? Beloved, I'm here to tell you, I believe every word in that book. I believe what God has given to us is His Word to us today, what He wants us to know concerning Him. I believe this report. I believe it's what God wants us to know about Himself and what He's done for us through His dear beloved Son. Who will see the arm of God's salvation revealed to them? Do we see Jesus Christ lifted up and magnified before us today? Oh God, please grant it. We see the prophet's description of this humble Savior, His humble beginnings. Well, our Savior, we'll turn back, if you would, to Isaiah chapter 11.
verse 2 of our chapter speaks of our Savior's roots. And what were His roots? We read in Isaiah 11 and verse 1, which says, "And there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots." The man Isaiah is talking about here comes from the lineage of King David. Jesus' mother was a descendant of King David through his son Nathan. And his stepfather, Joseph, was of the line of David's son Solomon. So we see that Jesus was as that rod, that branch that grew from David's lineage. At the time Jesus lived, there was no king in Israel. Obviously, Israel was under the domination and rule of Rome at that time. And being in the line and the heritage of David was an empty honor at the day. He was, as it says, "He shall grow up before them as a tender plant, as a root out of a dry ground." The Lord Jesus Christ was sprung out of the line of David, which was in a sense a desert place, a dry ground, a place, a lineage that at that point had little or no honor, no significance. When Jesus was born, he was of that root out of dry ground, and that noble family heritage meant very little. He came forth as that tender plant that might spring out of a desert, dry place. It's an illustration, though, beloved, of hope. So every spring, as it is now, when things begin to turn green and the trees give forth their leaves and their blossoms and the flowers begin to bloom around us, it's a reminder of us that there's life comes from death. It's a reminder to us that there's a hope. There's a hope for life, even when things look so dead. And the line of David seemed to be so insignificant. The line, the heritage that was David and his and those that followed him had lost its place in Israel. And yet, God's pleased to bring forth this tender plant, just as if it was a root out of a desert and dry ground. And this one, it describes, had no form nor comeliness. Very interesting. We'll look at that in a moment. The Lord Jesus Christ had very humble beginnings. We realize that. Born of a poor young girl in Nazareth, espoused to the village carpenter. Raised as that carpenter's son in the obscurity of Nazareth. In a portion of the country that was looked down upon. Thought little of. But also, as we just read, we see that, forgive me when I say this, hopefully I can explain. Our Savior was of a common appearance. He was of a common appearance. He had no form nor comeliness, and we shall see Him. There's no beauty that we should desire Him. Now think about this, folk. There was nothing about Jesus in his humanness, that it had made him significantly stand out amongst the men of his day. He was indeed the Son of God, and veiled by his flesh, the deity of God resided there. But he was in appearance just another Jewish man, just another man that walked this earth planet. Imagine it. The Son of God. A man whose flesh veiled the divine glory of God that resided within him. And as his neighbors and others looked upon him, there was nothing noteworthy. There was nothing significant in his outward appearance. Nothing that would reveal the very supernatural deity that resided within him. No form nor comeliness. And when we shall see him, there's no beauty that we should desire him. Now think about that, beloved. In John chapter 1, verse 14, it says, the Word became flesh. The Son of God, God the Word, became flesh. And it says, dwelt amongst us. He lived. He made his life amongst other men in those early days. And we see here in verse 3, the Savior's humiliation. His humiliation. He was despised and rejected of men. A man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. We hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. It's hard to believe, isn't it? We, looking back, would say, oh, what, that wouldn't have been the case with me. But don't be so quick to judge. Don't be so quick to judge those of the day. In fact, in his earthly ministry, he was continually rejected, as we read in the Gospels. His own family didn't know what to make of him, as we read the accounts along the way. There was a point that his neighbors in Nazareth wanted to throw him over a cliff in Luke chapter 4. The religious leaders hated him. The Pharisees, the scribes, the priests continually mocked him. They continually sought ways to discredit him. And in the end, found a way, they fought to destroy him. He was a man of sorrows. A man of sorrows. I think we lose sight of that. We, in this day at least, try to paint a different picture. Jesus was a man of sorrows. Not my description, beloved. What the Word of God says. He had come from glory of heaven. He'd come with the offer to his people of a kingdom that was not of this world. And while they were expecting him to restore unto them the kingdom, even his own disciples thought that he had come to restore the kingdom of David, to deliver them from that dominion and reign of Rome. But that was not the kind of kingdom he had to offer them. Of course, he knew he would be rejected. He understood the hearts of men without ever being told. It was clear to him that the grieving of his soul was so real. Sorrow over man's sin. Sorrow over the coldness of humanity. We read in John chapter 1 and verse 11 that he came unto his own. Came to his own. Came to the Jews. And his own received him not. They rejected him. He was acquainted with grief. Oh, our Savior was familiar. He understood. He knew what grief was. He knew what it was all about. The Son of God understood such grief that is beyond our comprehension. He experienced that rejection from the people he loved. The people that he had came to do for and to deliver. He wept over his beloved Jerusalem, his own royal city. But it had rejected him and all the prophets who had gone before him. How do you feel, beloved, when someone rejects you? How do you feel when someone wants nothing to do with you and would turn their back on you? Especially when you would be rejected by someone you love. Someone that you would desire to sacrifice yourself for. And yet, you're rejected. Our Lord, Our Lord had come to a people that He loved, and not just loved, He loved with a perfect love. And I'm so thankful that His love was not like my love. I'm so thankful that His love was not after the manner of human love. I'm so thankful that His love was an unconditional love. I'm so thankful that He did not have to receive my love in order to give His love. I'm so thankful that He did not have to see my sacrifice in order to sacrifice His love for me. What a love. Praise God that His love was not only perfect, but that it was an unconditional love. But, beloved, those He loved esteemed Him not. They did not value Him. They did not honor Him. He was not held in that esteem, nor in the honor that He certainly deserved. He was despised. We esteemed Him not. But then, in all of that, we go on to read concerning our Savior's sacrifice. Please, as we read in these verses, see yourself there. See yourself there. In verse 4 it says, "Surely He hath borne our griefs, carried our sorrows. We did esteem Him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. But He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him. With His stripes, we are healed." We see the Savior's burden here. We see our Savior's burden. Look at those words. "Surely He hath borne our griefs." When our Savior hung there at the cross of Calvary, He bore, He carried our sin to that place. He carried the burden that Jim Turner should have carried for himself. He carried the burden of your grief and mine there to that. He bore our burden for us. We're the ones that gave Him that sorrow. We gave Him nothing but griefs. He carried our griefs and our sorrows to the cross. He bore our transgressions, our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was laid upon Him. He would be the one. He would be the one that would make peace between our God and us. Let me word it correctly. He'd be the one that would make peace for me with my God. Through Him. Through Him, the most hideous of human disease would be healed. The disease of our sinfulness. Look here in verse 6, where it says all. Note, it says all. We like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on Him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed. He was afflicted. Yet He opened not His mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter. And as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so He openeth not His mouth. Oh my. The sinner's sinfulness here, beloved. The sinner's sinfulness. We see that the sinner has deserted his God. All we like sheep have gone astray. We're doing our own thing, beloved. We want to do our own thing. It says we've turned everyone to his own way. Can we just get honest a moment? We come into this world as selfish, egotistical, self-centered. I want to think of some more words. Consumed with ourselves. You know, we expect that from babies, don't we? They're the center of their universe. They think the whole world revolves around them. Unfortunately, if we were really honest, now listen, if we were really honest, we never outgrow that. We just learn how to cover it up. We just learn how to subdue it in such a way that it doesn't show all over the place. But we're no different than that little baby. We want to do our own thing. Hey, I want to go my way in this world. Huh? We don't like people telling us what to do. I'm just trying to be honest. Huh? Hey, what's one of the first words we learn? No! I don't want to. The truth is, I never want to do what somebody tells me to do. Huh? Why? Because there's that thing in me that wants to do its own thing. Wants to go his own way. If we just get honest, we'd realize that describes, hey, all we like sheep gone astray. We just get honest and own up to the truth. And we see that he, this one, was despised his Savior. We hid, as it were, our faces from them, from him. We want to turn away from, hey, we want to keep, hey, we don't want God running the show either, if we just get honest. The sinner has no claims to the things of God. He has no claims to the things of God. He's manifested his wicked heart and his sinful nature. Hey, from the beginning, from the Garden of Eden to today, man still wants to still manifesting his sinful nature. In Romans chapter 3, the Apostle Paul deals with these very things, even quotes some of these things here. In verse 10, it says, as it is written. As the Word of God declares, there's none righteous. You think you're pretty good? Take a better look. Look a little closer. There's none righteous. No, not one. There's none that understandeth. There's none that seeketh after God. Oh, you might want to brag. Hey, when I found God, the truth is, God found you if you're saved this morning. It was the God of glory that moved in, took the good Word of God, showed you what a mess you were, how bad you needed Jesus, and He intervened in your life and drew you savingly to Himself. There's none! Not a one of us! You say, well, I was searching for God. God put the search in you! There's none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There's none. There's none that doeth good. No, not one. Don't let Hollywood kid you. Don't let false religion and man-made religion fool you. There's no spark of divinity in you. There's nothing but hell in you without Jesus. You say, man, you're not preaching a very sweet message today on Easter. No, I'm just preaching the truth.
Amen.
Just preaching the truth. The gates of heaven are barred to lost man and sin. The Bible says it is appointed unto man once to die. And after this, the judgment, according to Hebrews 9:27. Tells me I need help. Thankfully, there's an answer. Thankfully, there's an answer, and that answer comes through the Savior's suffering, beloved. Through the suffering Savior. Notice, please, some graphic and gruesome statements in these verses. Where it says in verse 4, we did esteem Him stricken. He was beaten nearly beyond recognition. Verse 5, it says He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. With His stripes we are healed. The cat of nine tails literally ripped the flesh from His body. As, oh my, we were being healed. In verse 7 it says He was oppressed and He was afflicted. He was brought as a, listen to this, He was brought as a lamb to the slaughter. break our hearts. This description that Isaiah gives us should break our hearts. It is Jim Turner. It was you that caused this. Our sin required that our Savior, the Son of God, would be treated in such a horrible, inhumane way. We see the Savior's affliction here. Verse 4 says He was, look at this, listen to this, smitten of God. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Smitten of God. Can we imagine it? Jesus, the sinless, spotless Lamb of God, smitten, so horribly dealt with at the will of His own Father. Why? So that you and I might be saved. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Verse 10, it says, yet it pleased the Lord. Imagine that. It pleased the Lord to bruise Him. He hath put Him to grief. Do we comprehend that? Do we grasp that at all? The God of glory, the Heavenly Father, afflicted His own Son. Realize this. Realize this, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, had to endure these things. He had to receive these things upon Himself to redeem us, to save us. He took upon Himself all... Now listen, my sin is horrible. I pray every day, make my sin ugly to me, exceeding sinful, that I might see it as ugly as God sees it. But beloved, Jesus took all my sin upon Himself, multiplied by all that are saved. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. He took upon Himself what I deserved, what you deserved. But then we see as well here the satisfaction of this, the Savior's satisfaction. All that the Lord Jesus Christ suffered did indeed. Now this might sound wrong, but please stick with me. What the Lord Jesus Christ suffered and endured satisfied God. It satisfied the wrath of God for sin. You say, well, how do you know that? Because 3 days after He was placed in that tomb, He rose again from the dead. The Bible expresses it two ways. It speaks of how He took His life back. But it also speaks of how His Father raised Him from the grave, from the dead. Oh my! He says, thou shalt make His soul an offering for sin. Listen to this. In John chapter 3 and verse 36, it says, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. Hallelujah! But, beloved, he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth upon him. Realize this morning the difference. Again, that contrast between life and death, saved and unsaved, those that are lost and those that are redeemed. It rests in that beautiful word, believeth. Those that have put their faith and their trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. those that believe and understand that what Jesus did there at Calvary was for them. Those that receive the Son, John chapter 1 says, will become the sons of God. Bought by that precious divine blood into the family of God. It was a satisfactory sacrifice indeed. And again, in verse 10, it says, He shall see His seed, He shall prolong His days. The pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in His hand. He shall see the travail of His soul and shall be satisfied. By His knowledge shall My righteous servant justify. Now listen to that. My righteous servant justify many, for He shall bear their iniquities. Jesus died there for me. He died there in my place. He died there as my substitute. He died there instead of me dying there. It was a satisfactory sacrifice. It was a sufficient sacrifice for the sin of mankind. His sacrifice was a divine sacrifice. And through the death of His own Son, God's wrath was satisfied for sin. Now we make all that statement to be able to declare, as we see here, that He had the victory. He had the victory over sin. But I want us to go back for just a moment and put ourselves in that place as we asked you a moment ago. Those that hear me teach and preach know I like little words in the Bible. Probably says something about my intelligence, but I like little words in the Bible. Again, please plug yourself in here. He hath borne our griefs, Jim Turner's, and carried our sorrows. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him. With His stripes we are healed. Verse 10 says, Thou shalt make His soul an offering for sin. He shall bear their iniquities. Verse 11. He bare the sin of many. Beloved, notice one thing. It was never about His sin. And it was all about our sin. It was all about what we needed. But then, get these very important words. In verse 11, it says, He shall see the travail of His soul and be satisfied. When the God of glory, hard to get my brain around. And the God of glory saw what His Son did there at Calvary. When God saw the blood, His wrath for my sin was satisfied. So how do you know? How do you know? Because the angel's testimony, for one. Because Jesus was that sufficient payment for sin. Because Jesus did satisfy the wrath of God against sin. Because at Calvary, the debt of sin was paid in full. And then early, that Sunday morning 2,000 years ago, Jesus Christ came out of the tomb. Amen. Came out of that tomb victorious over sin and the grave. We love these words from 1 Corinthians 15 where it says in verse 55, I love it. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? I love it. The Apostle Paul, as if he is mocking sin, mocking death, mocking the grave. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin. The strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through the Lord Jesus Christ. We've got the victory. The angels of glory declare in Luke 24 and verses 5 and 6, as they were there at the tomb looking for the Lord Jesus, the angels' testimony to them was, why seek ye the living among the dead? Why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. He's alive. He's victorious. He's defeated sin. He's defeated the grave. And the proof is he's alive. Even now, the Son's resurrection is the proof, beloved, that His Father received, that His Father accepted what was done on that cross as that satisfactory payment for sin. And today, this April 8, 2012, I surprise myself, I even know what day it is. Today, you and I can know forgiveness for sin through that same sacrifice. That same payment for our sin. And we receive that through trusting what Jesus Christ did for us there. Back in the first verse of Isaiah 53, it begins with that question. Who hath believed our report? Who hath believed our testimony? Who hath believed our word? As we said, it's the difference between life and death. Do you believe God's report? He says, this is it. It's as if God would speak to heaven, from heaven to us today and say, this is it. Do you believe this? Do you believe what I've done for you? Do you believe what my Son accomplished for you? Who hath believed our report? Do you believe what the Bible says? Oh my, it amazes me. Oh, but it doesn't amaze me. It surprises me, but it doesn't surprise me. How the world tries to close that book. How the world wants to stamp that book out. Why is it that the nations and the countries around this world that are dominated by false religions ban this book? Why does Islam refuse to have this book within its borders where they rule? They don't want the truth there. They don't want this word of life to be declared there, because they know that when God said, you shall know the truth and the truth shall set you free, will deliver souls from the bondage of sin, deliver from the bondage of false religion. Oh my, do you believe God's report? Do you believe His word? Do you believe what the Bible says? In Romans chapter 10 and verse 9, the simple but beautiful words that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. In the 10th verse of that chapter, it says, For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. He's talking about what God does in our salvation this morning in my Sunday school class, looking behind those simple words of being born again and seeing how God's the one that breathes life into a dead soul and does that miraculous work when we come alive spiritually. Men must understand, folk must understand that there must come that point in time where we believe and we declare what God has done for us. You see, as we said earlier in my class, it's not a matter of, oh, I've always believed. I've had folks tell me that over the years. Oh, are you saved? Oh, yes, I'm saved. Well, when did you get saved? Well, I've always believed. No, you haven't. Not according to what the Bible says. There had to be that there must have been that moment in time, and I'm not worried about it if you remember the time on the clock and the day of the year. That's not important. But the important thing is that you know, that you know, that you know, that you trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, and He declared it. God, I need You! Save my soul! Huh? The heart, man, believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. In Romans chapter 10 and verse 13, it says, and I love these words, simple, simple. For whosoever, by the way, that's how I got in. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You see, there had to be that point in time, sometime, somewhere, where you called, Jesus, save me. Huh? As the publican in the temple, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Last question for today. Do you believe? Do you believe our report? Have you put your faith, your trust in this risen Savior that laid down His life for you, sacrificed Himself for you, satisfied the wrath of God for your sin? Do you believe? Let's stand together. Father, all I know to do is just ask that You might be pleased to take Your word. Father, would You take up where the preacher lacks, where the preacher is weak and feeble. And Father, please take Your word and deliver it to hearts today. Lord, I don't know. I don't know what You might be saying or doing in hearts and souls within these walls right now. But God, I ask You in Jesus' name to make the truth real. Pray, Father, that You might be pleased to enter in and move amongst these pews. Might Your Spirit brood in this place and work, Father, convincing the lost of sin. Help them to see Jesus as Your sacrifice for them. And Father, I pray in Jesus' name that right now, this moment, they might call upon You. Call upon You as their Savior, their Lord. Please, Lord, do for precious eternal souls today. And Father, I ask You for those that are here that are saved, those that know Jesus as their Savior, their Lord. Father, as we might with fresh eyes see the cross, see what You've done for us, might we fall all the deeper in love with Jesus, all the deeper in love with this One who gave everything for us. And Lord, we'll give you the praise, we'll give you the glory for everything that you might be pleased to do. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Brother John.
Page 157.
We sing, folks, please do what the Lord would have you to do.
I hear the Savior
say, please just obey Him.
Thy strength indeed is
stir
small.
Stir your heart, step out. Please.
Child of weakness, watch and pray.
You need Christ today.
Find in me,
come, take this preacher by the
all in all.
Do our best.
Jesus
paid it
all.
Show you how much God loves you.
All to Him I owe.
Yes, Lord.
Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. Lord, now indeed I find Thy power and Thine alone can change the leper's spots and melt the heart of stone. Jesus paid it all, all to Him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. For nothing good have I, whereby Thy grace to claim. I'll wash my garments white in the blood of Calvary's Lamb. Jesus paid it all, all to Him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, He washed it white as snow. And when before the throne I stand in Him complete, Jesus died my soul to save, my lips shall still repeat, Jesus paid it all, all to Him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, He washed it white as snow.
I mentioned a little bit ago a lady that got her heart right last Sunday in the services there in Samoa. What I didn't mention to you was that this lady's crippled. Her legs don't work. And to get to the altar last Sunday night, she lowered herself down out of a seat about back where Brother Joe's sitting, crawled to the altar on her hands and knees. Laid aside the pride, laid aside self. She just knew she needed to get to Jesus and get things right. Sometimes we can be our own worst enemies, folks. We can let self and all that ego and pride get in the way of just doing what God wants us to do. I don't say that to make you try to get you to do something God doesn't want. I just pray God would help us to get self out of the way.
Amen.
And let Him do what He want to do in our lives. We'll sing just one more verse.
I hear the Savior say, Thy strength indeed is small. Child of weakness, watch and pray. Find in me Thine all in all. Jesus paid it all. All to Him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow.
Amen. Amen. You can be seated. Just a couple things before Brother Curtis comes. I want to encourage men, if at all possible, fellas, sign up to go with us to the men's advance here. 26th, I believe that is, Friday the 26th. Need to leave probably between 12 and noon, or 12 and noon, 12 and 1 that day. But it will be well worth the time, even the expense. God's been pleased to do some beautiful things there. It's an advance. Of course, it's sponsored by Bible Baptist Church of Stillwater, Oklahoma, held at the fairgrounds there in Stillwater. It's something about being in a room that's packed. The last meeting, there was about 2,000 men there in that room. And then, as is their custom, at least once, sometimes twice, they'll sing, "It Is Well With My Soul." 2,000 men's voices singing that, it just fills that room in, wow. It's an amazing, it's just amazing, amazing to witness. And again, always good preaching. Music is great. I just urge you to do that. Also, please be in prayer for the Talent family, homegoing of their loved one, and for the Jordan family, as Brother D.T. Jordan passed away, I believe it was Friday. And Brother Jack Foster will be preaching that funeral tomorrow. So please pray for those two families. Brother Curtis, you come.
Gentlemen, if y'all come forward, we'll see this morning's offering. Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for this day. Thank you for everything you've given us, Lord. Thank you that today is the day that we celebrate your resurrection. Without your resurrection, we wouldn't have a chance. We'd just be wasting our time here, Lord. It'd be a hollow religion. Lord, it's not. Thank you so much. Lord, be it this offering about to receive, and be it the gift and the giver. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. We do have a few announcements. Miss Janice says tomorrow we're having a painting party. She need to paint the lattice work from 1 o'clock till they get finished, right? Well, okay. We'll have a family revival starting next Sunday through Thursday. Excuse me, Tuesday. We can go through Thursday. Why not? The ladies' fellowship is going to be on the 19th, and men's advance, like the preacher said. Going to be the 27th and 28th. I went last the year before last, whenever it was. The last one they had, should I say. It was spectacular. Please pay attention to the items needed for the ladies' banquet. And still need a little more help at the church library. See Mr. Renee for that. Other than that, I think that's about all we need to talk about now. Wait, one more thing?
Just one more commercial. Next Sunday morning, Dr. S.M. Davis will be here beginning this family revival. Folks, I don't know if there's a more desperate time in the history of man than now for the attacks on the family, the disintegration of the family. Please, please be there. Whether you're a parent or grandparent, kids need to be there. Brother Davis is a straight shooter. He's going to pray. He's a terrific preacher. And he's going to give us what the Word of God says concerning the family. Only five messages. Sunday school, morning service, Sunday night, and Monday and Tuesday night. Please, invest in your family. Be here.
We'll be dismissed with our chorus for the month. It's on the back of your bulletin if you need the words. He lives.
He lives, He lives. Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, He lives. Salvation to impart. You ask me how. I know He lives. He lives within my heart.
Thank you. You're dismissed.